Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the best 30 minutes of your day. You're listening to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. The Driving Home on Wednesday, the 27th day of March 2024 edition, and the calls and the emails and the texts just keep coming in. President Joe Biden had the unmitigated gall, the nerve, to stand before the podium, the cameras and the microphone, and claim that he took the train over the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore Harbor many, many times when he was a U.S. Senator, and that he even drove his tractor trailer over that bridge. Joe Biden may have driven a tractor trailer on the parking lot for a photo op at a dealership once or twice in his life, but there is no train track over that bridge. There were no train tracks. That is not a train bridge. I want to know what train Joe Biden thinks he was on. We know he has no train of thought. We know that he is senile, a dementia, Alzheimer's patient who does not deserve to be in the White House. But for him to stand there and add to his pack of lies, I can't even call it a pack of lies anymore. It's more like a giant cargo container ship of lies of the Biden administration over his entire political career. Plagiarizing, outright lying, making up stories, coming up with fantasy fairy tales like Corn Pop was a bad dude. Joe Biden stood there knowing that at least six people and probably more have died a tragic death, and he has the nerve to stand there and lie and say he went on that bridge many times behind the wheel of a tractor trailer or on the train. And there's not even a train track on that bridge. Never was. Never will be. This is the guy who's supposed to be running the most powerful country on planet Earth. And he just straight up lies like a rug. Did you notice how quick gay Mayor Pete Buttigieg wiped the stuff off the side of his face and jumped before the microphone after that tragic shipping accident, saying, "We're going to do everything we can"? He actually got on the media today and said he, the transportation secretary, does not think that the loss of that major corridor for traffic and that major waterway for God knows how long it's going to take to clean that bridge and that boat out of there, he doesn't think there's going to be a major impact on Bidenomics or Joe Biden's inflation. Newsflash, gay Mayor Pete. While you're busy in the factory packaging fudge, I've got to be careful how I say that. While you're in the factory packaging fudge, the country is experiencing the third straight consecutive year of Joe Biden's inflation, of supply chain shortage after supply chain shortage after supply chain shortage, after massive high fuel prices. And that, we all know, the reason gasoline and diesel prices are going up once again has nothing to do with the bridge falling, has nothing to do with oil prices. Oil prices are actually down right now. But gasoline and diesel prices are up so that Joe Biden can try and continue to fail to push the lie of electric vehicles on Americans around the country. This, as the Fisker Ocean cars have been dropped in price down to $24,999 now from their $50-something thousand price tag, just so the company can hope to stay afloat through December. They are on a fast track for bankruptcy, as is Polestar, as is Rivian, as are every other startup manufacturer of electric vehicles in the U.S. Nissan was said to have been in talks with some of these upstart homebred electric vehicle manufacturers, and even Nissan, a struggling company in its own right, pulling the plug, so to speak, on their involvement with electric vehicles. They just see that we, the American people, a consumer-driven economy, don't want to consume electric vehicles. We don't want anything to do with them. And rightfully so. We simply do not have the infrastructure, and now the science is coming out proving beyond any doubt that electric vehicles, from their cradle to their grave, for their life expectancy, are far, far more polluting than gasoline or clean diesel counterparts, and that they use up tires at a much faster rate. You go through a set of tires much quicker, in much fewer miles, in an electric vehicle than you do in a gasoline-powered vehicle. These are statistical, scientific, mechanically engineered reality facts. But they don't want you to know these things when they're pushing this electric vehicle agenda. Now, last few days, I was talking about how great it was in China, in Singapore, and even in Vietnam. Most of the taxis, most of the fleets of vehicles there, government incentivized, are turning electric. But they have the infrastructure necessary to charge those vehicles. When you're bitching and complaining about the so-called polluted skies in China, I've never seen such clear skies in my entire life. I've never breathed such clean air in my entire life. But yet, supposedly, they've built 1,200 new coal-fired electrical power plants there. They must be pretty clean burning, because we didn't see smog, we didn't see smoke, we didn't see pollution of any kind. The waterways were just crystal clear everywhere we went. The rivers, the lakes, beautiful. Look down into the water, you could see the fish swimming. That's reality. I'm not making this up. And if the United States of America had approached electric vehicles with the same vim and vigor and government support that other countries have approached the electric vehicle frontier, I might be a little more willing to consider one. But knowing that electric vehicles in the United States of America have far less range, which means they can go far fewer miles on a single charge, and the fact that our infrastructure simply doesn't exist with enough fast charging stations to accommodate the growing number of EVs in the country, I have zero faith. We will probably come out with hydrogen-powered cars long before Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden and Jennifer Granholm can come up with enough charging stations to make it viable. Sure, you can park outside of a Target store and see a few of those Tesla charging stations here and there. It's funny, though, you very rarely see any Teslas parked there charging. What they're not telling you is, it's sort of like the old drug culture of the 70s and 80s and 90s. The first one is free. Here, man, want to get high? Try this little green pill. Yeah, feels good, doesn't it? Well, now you're addicted to it, and now you got to pay. And you're going to pay through the nose, and you're going to rob, rape, and steal to get enough money to buy your next green pill. That's what the U.S. government is doing here in America with the electric vehicle industry. Let's raise the price of gasoline and diesel so high that electric vehicles will look like a bargain. then, at one point, when those electric vehicles are now the mainstream, you'll get charged ever higher prices for the electricity to charge the batteries on your electric vehicle. That's the way it's going to be. It's the same thing they did to the city of New Orleans in the 1960s. I'll tell you about that. It's quite an interesting, true story. In the 1950s, the city of New Orleans still relied heavily on their streetcar lines. They had streetcars, those trolleys that are so famous now. You see them on Canal Street and on St. Charles Avenue, but not on very many other streets. Back in the 50s, the streetcars lined almost every one of those major tree-lined boulevards in the city of New Orleans. You could get from the lakefront to the river by streetcar. You could go from uptown to downtown by streetcar. You could get just about anywhere you needed to go by streetcar. And then one day, the Standard Oil Company, along with General Motors, went to the city of New Orleans leadership and said, "Have we got a deal for you? We're going to give you 10 brand new petroleum-powered buses. They're not restricted as to what train track they must run on. If a tree falls on a train track on your streetcar line, you can't go anywhere. But if a streetcar, if a tree falls on a street, a bus can simply divert and go around to another street. It's much better. We're going to give you these brand new buses." And the city of New Orleans said, whoa, what's the catch? And Standard Oil Company and Goodyear Tire Company and General Motors, the manufacturers of those buses, they said, "Well, we're going to give you these brand new buses, but you have to dig up your streetcar tracks." And the idiots running the city of New Orleans at the time, Democrat Party mayor and the city council, said, "Oh, okay, we'll dig up those streetcar tracks and we'll widen the roads to 2 lanes or even 3 lanes in some areas to accommodate the buses." Knowing full well, General Motors did, that if you dig up the streetcar tracks now, you're never going to lay them back down. And by that point, it will be too late. You will now be addicted to buses. And whereas streetcars never needed an oil change, never needed tires, they ran on electricity provided by those overhead power lines, the city of New Orleans was then stuck with the frequent breakdowns and the car accidents that involved their buses, not to mention the tires and the oil changes and the alternator belts and the coolant changes, transmission fluid changes, rear end fluid changes, and all of the front end alignments and other maintenance items that have plagued the bus system ever since the 1960s. But America likes to erase history, and the city of New Orleans doesn't like for the public to remember how many streetcars there used to be. So now they glorify the St. Charles Avenue streetcar line and the Canal Street streetcar line, and they want you to believe that that's the only streetcars they've ever had. But we know better. Older guys and gals like me, we know better. We remember what it was like to have streetcars running all over the city. And now the city's stuck on pothole-laden streets with buses that don't run well, need expensive maintenance and upkeep. And the city wants to employ electric buses now. Will they ever learn their lesson? Methinks not. You're listening to the Truth Hurts program. Earlier, I told you about Joe Biden lying, claiming that he drove a tractor trailer over that bridge in Maryland multiple times, and that he rode the train over that bridge many, many times. And then Joe Biden said, we're going to bypass the red tape. We're going to make sure that that bridge gets rebuilt immediately. Why? Because Baltimore votes Democrat. Maryland, pretty much, because of the larger Democratic cities there, votes Democrat. And Biden is desperate for Democrat votes at this point, with only 232 days, or 231 days now, left before the November election. He thinks the American people are stupid enough to think that he's going to be a hero and that he is going to step in with gay fudge-packing Mayor Pete Buttigieg and they're going to rebuild the bridge. We'll have to wait until the dust clears, the dust settles, the bridge is plucked out of that bay, the ship is made to move out of the way so that recovery operations can begin. But the ship is insured by Alliance, A-L-L-I-A-N-Z, a worldwide maritime insurer. The cargo was insured by them for sure. I'm not sure if the ship was, but you can pretty much bet it was, because most of the maritime industry is insured by those companies. The ship, a Singapore-flagged ship, and by the way, I just left Singapore, the busiest harbor in the United States, excuse me, in the world, the busiest harbor in the world. One year it's Singapore, the next year it's Shanghai. I'm not sure which one of those cities boasts that busiest harbor in the country designation this year. But those ships are regularly inspected, certified. That ship had a recent U.S. Coast Guard approval. But it's a mechanical object made by man. I hate to use the phrase, my friends, but sometimes shit happens. Things break down. And the United States Coast Guard and the U.S. Department of Transportation should have installed buffers, barriers, ballasts, or whatever they're called, in the water to protect that very fragile bridge 25 years ago. Yes, the ship broke down. Yes, it hit the bridge. But had the proper precautions been put in place, giant underwater concrete diverters that would have steered that ship manually away from those very precious support columns, we wouldn't be here. Now, I can't blame Pete Buttigieg. That ship was constructed, what, 1974, I believe they said? But how many Department of Transportation heads has the United States seen since the 1970s? How many other bridges have collapsed because they've been impacted by ocean-going vessels of that size, of that tonnage? Oh, that's right. It would have cost money. And putting in such safeguards would have taken money away from, oh, I don't know, support for the Vietnam War back in the 70s? Support for the Ukraine here in 2024? These are the things that our tax dollars should be paying for in the United States of America. Not supporting a country who is not even an ally of the United States. Not sending hundreds of millions of dollars to Iran, Iraq, Hamas, Palestine, Hezbollah, the Taliban. We gave away $1 trillion to the Taliban, thanks to Joe Biden surrendering Afghanistan to the Taliban early in his presidency. Simply turned over, and a nation that could have been one of our allies, was on the way to being one of our allies, a burgeoning democracy in a strategically valuable place for the USA, Joe Biden just simply waved the red flag of cowardice. The white flag of cowardice. The red flag of 13 American service persons' lives. The white flag of surrender. How many bridges could have been safeguarded against accidental or even worse, purposeful attacks by putting concrete bolsters or diverters in the water surrounding the columns which hold up those bridges? We can only thank the good Lord above that this happened at 1 o'clock in the morning, between Saturday night and Sunday morning, and that it wasn't heavy commuter traffic time on the I-695 bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I've personally driven over that bridge multiple times when I was stationed in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area on one task force or another. I can only send my prayers to the families of those people lost. This wasn't an act of terrorism, thank God. But with the tens of millions of illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing invaders from our southern border, many of whom have been on the terrorist watch list for years, many of whom have come here and committed felony crimes. By the way, every single person who has crossed illegally is a criminal, according to the U.S. Code. They're all criminals. How many of those are now going, hey, we don't need box cutters to take airplanes into buildings. Let's hijack ships on rivers and crash them into bridges and interrupt entire supply chains and murder a few Americans along with it? How many of those illegals coming from other nations across our southern border are now scratching their heads saying, this should be pretty easy? There are very few checks to keep someone from pirating a ship in U.S. waters. And as we saw by this ship's crashing into the Francis Scott Key Bridge at less than 8 miles per hour, it doesn't take a whole lot of speed to kill a bridge and everyone on it and everyone under it. What is Joe Biden going to do when, not if, but when some terrorist decides to ram purposely a ship into a bridge along the Mississippi River, for example? It's not too far-fetched to think about it. The Crescent City Connection, the twin bridges going over the Mississippi River at New Orleans, just outside of the Superdome and the French Quarter at the Port of New Orleans, are very, very vulnerable to a ship breaking loose, whether accidentally or purposely, as we saw about 20 years ago with the ocean-going vessel, the Bright Field, which also lost power and steering control at a bend in the river and crashed into the Riverwalk, the port of New Orleans, at, I believe they said, 13 to 17 knots or miles per hour, causing major damage. And it would not have taken but a few hundred yards for it to have hit that bridge that I just mentioned. The Huey P. Long Bridge, with two in the middle of the Mississippi River columns holding up the superstructure that does house train tracks, Joe Biden, does house train tracks. Those train tracks allowing long locomotive trains carrying hazardous materials, flammable materials, food products, automobiles, machinery, military vehicles across the Mississippi River. That, by the way, the Huey P. Long Bridge just outside of New Orleans in Jefferson Parish is the southernmost crossing for rail cars in the United States of America, from the Port of New Orleans, connecting the east and the west banks of the Mississippi River, a major transportation hub. There's another one upriver at Baton Rouge, along with another major Interstate 10 bridge that crosses the Mississippi River. Large ocean-going freighters, tankers, bulk carriers flow up and down that Mississippi River each and every day. Who is stopping a group of armed terrorists who crossed our borders illegally from Mexico? Who is stopping them from potentially hijacking a boat, a ship, and crashing it into one of those bridges, creating a major disruption in transportation and a major loss of lives? The answer is Joe Biden doesn't have the first damned clue. Not a clue. He is as clueless as they come. And gay Mayor Pete, maybe he'll stop letting his adopted child suck on his nipple. Or maybe he'll pull out the fudge packaging operation. Gotta be careful how I say that. Maybe he'll pull out long enough to see that this is a potentially deadly situation in the United States of America. There are similar bridges in Galveston, Texas, the Port of Houston, the ports along the East Coast, the West Coast, the Port of Mobile, Alabama, the Port of Biloxi in Gulfport, Mississippi. This is a clear and present danger. Yes, the ship that hit the Baltimore Bridge, the I-695 bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, was apparently an accident, a mechanical failure. But these are the types of things that terrorists look for in their next attack against the USA. Do we really want to keep a feeble-minded president in office, a man with zero clue, a man who stood there and lied to the American people, claiming that not only has he driven tractor trailers across that bridge, which we know is a lie, pictures or it didn't happen, Joe. Pictures or it didn't happen, Joe. But he also claims that he has ridden the choo-choo train over that bridge many, many times before. And when he was called out on it, he refused to own up to his lie. He sent out French dip Karine Jean-Pierre, the little quota-hire black lesbian woman, to say, no, 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 you misunderstood. He meant he drove a tractor trailer earlier in his life, and he's ridden the train many times in his life, and he's crossed that bridge many times in his life. But that's not what Joe Biden said. Joe Biden lied and said he drove a tractor trailer over that bridge many times, and he rode the choo-choo train over that bridge many, many, many times. And that's simply not true. It's simply another in the long 50-plus year history of Joe Biden in politics lying to the stupider half of the constituents that he supposedly represents. Because the smarter half, those who identify as Republicans, see through his lies, see through the bullshit of the mainstream progressive leftist liberal woke news media who covers for this liar and cheat day in and day out. Wow, folks, I've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Make it a great day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening.
Copyright 2024, The Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. Background music, Jason Shaw and Audionautix.